Lord God, and clarity to come forth today and that you speak to our hearts. You're able to speak right to the situations that we are involved in, Lord God, and to speak wisdom to us and knowledge to us, and that we, once again, that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're thankful for this in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, the last couple of times I've ministered, we've talked about giftings. We've talked about, by the way, Renee is in the house. Hallelujah. This is not like a, wait a minute, let me get in my head right. This is not a small miracle. Amen. This is a gigantic thing that's been an answer to prayer. Praise the Lord. Not only that, you look great. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, and we're believing for the continued healing of her leg and all the other until a complete manifestation. So we've been talking about gifts. We talked about that Ephesians 4:11, that God gave particular gifts unto certain individuals that were gifted with a portion of Jesus's ministry as apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. There's not any one individual who has the totality of Jesus's ministry. Everyone that's called in ministry has been given a portion. Now, there's been a few I've met that seem to think that they probably got it all. But the truth of the matter is that He gives a certain portion to everyone who's called into the ministry. And our job is not to be competitive with one another, but to be faithful with what God gives us. And that's true for all of us. Amen? If we're given five talents, then we're to be responsible with five talents. If with one talent, then one talent, praise God. The good news is that whatever He gives you has within its spiritual DNA the ability to double. Hallelujah. So if it's one, there's two available. And we know that there's a great premium with God about faithfulness. And that kind of tied into us being faithful and this progression of faithfulness, I think there are things along our life that are waiting there that as we continue to grow in faithfulness, we then embrace those things that He sets in our life. Amen? So once again, you know, those gifts have been given and thank the Lord. I want to say to you though, as much, I don't know what some ministers I've met are going to do when they finally find out that this is not an eternal position. Hallelujah. A couple I've met have thought that, you know, they were going to be apostles or whatever they were in heaven. Listen, when we all get to the kingdom of God, there's one class of people and that's children of God. That's it. And as a matter of fact, the highest category that you can enter into is being a child of God. Not being an apostle or a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Those are all servant positions, gifted servant positions of the ascension Christ that are there to adorn the bride. The whole idea that's taking place now is the bride is being prepared and adorned for the soon coming wedding that's going to take place between the groom, the Lord Jesus, and the bride, the church. Hallelujah. So the focus is not on ministry. The focus is on you as a believer in Jesus Christ. So, I don't know. You say, well, angels are created for a little bit of time, a little higher, but there is no higher position in the kingdom of God that one can achieve than child of God. And that's all been achieved by the Lamb of God on our behalf. And all we did was accept it. The second area that we began to talk about was gifts of the Spirit. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes in an individual, He comes with all these gifts. They are there. They're ready to be released based on, you know, one's belief and one's positioning themselves. You know, if you didn't know about a certain thing, it'd be hard for that to manifest. Because there's a certain amount of cooperation that needs to take place for the gifts of the Spirit, such as we've talked about thoroughly, prophecy, which is highly esteemed by the Lord. The only chapter we've got about how a gift is to be used is that of prophecy and tongues and interpretation, which when they come together, that's equivalent to prophecy. And so in a church setting, he says that's to be highly esteemed and desired, is that we hear from the Lord a tongue and interpretation as we had today. Praise God. Or a direct encouragement. I don't know about you. When I come to church, I want to be encouraged. I don't want to be jumped on. Amen? Ain't no jumping. It's a no jump zone. No jump zone. Amen? You're naughty, that's between you and God. Hallelujah. Amen? Here, I believe people are encouraged into a different behavior by God. They're drawn by a love that continues to grow, to want to be pleasing, wanting to know more about God. And the closer, of course, we're getting to Him, the more of Him is coming out of us. So we have the gifts of the Spirit, healings, miracles. Praise God. These are things we need. We need. I tell you, our prayer list, probably 90% of our prayer list on Wednesdays consists of people who have ailments, physical situations that they're believing God, and we're believing God for them that situation is going to be changed. Now, what's our position about doctors? Thank God they're here. Thank God God has given that knowledge to somebody. Thank God those individuals have spent their life in the study of certain things. Is it perfect? No. But praise God, I'm telling you what, if I was a generation before, I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for the knowledge given to certain individuals by the grace of God. So I consider what they do in meds. Should you take your meds? Take your meds. Amen? Well, I'm going to walk in faith. Okay. And as soon as you tell us you're not taking your meds and you went on the prayer list, we're going to have a talk. We're going to have a talk. We need to do what our due diligence on things. So I've heard anti-medicine deals. I'm not an anti-medicine guy. I am thankful for what knowledge God has given to men. If He decided not to give it, which to me even proves more God wants us healed, that He released this information that people, I'm telling you, have had to dig for. People have given their lives to research and to find out certain things that we just take for granted today, such as antibiotics. It wasn't long ago. Antibiotics weren't around, and people died by the throes. Throes, is that a right word? By the bunches. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. So, that's our stance here. So we're thankful for that. I'm thankful for the ones who attend me. But ultimately, we're all believing in the great physician. I mean, however He desires for that to take place, praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that. Now, as many of you know, I have an incurable blood disease. It's called a common variable immune deficiency, which is kind of similar to David the Bubble Boy, but mine's a tick different. He had to live in a bubble, and thank God I don't. But there's a lot of challenges with that. And, you know, I was told at 30 I had 2 years left, left on the planet. And I'm glad I didn't buy into that, by the way. Amen. I'm glad I chose a higher source of information on that, having celebrated 68 years back in July. So, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm saying to you that healing is available to us. Have I been completely resolved to that issue? No, but God has seen me through every single one of those attacks. Hallelujah. Amen. And I still exist to preach the gospel today. Praise the Lord. I believe that's one of the reasons why I'm still around. I'm still valuable to the King. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we have these giftings. We talked about other giftings that are there also, such as people who clean the church and mow the grass. I put these people in high regard around here. They're high on my agenda as friends of the church. Hallelujah. Not everybody's an apostle, but we all can have ministries of helps, administrations. There's different giftings that are spoken of, in the Word of God. Giving is one of those. Praise the Lord. We could use a few more of those rising up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just believe God for God's prosperity to overtake us all. Praise the Lord, so that we can be generous. It's interesting. As I've told you before, I've met a lot of wealthy people, and not always are they the most generous. I met a lot of people with, you know, very meager funds, really first ones to step out when there's a need. That's kind of interesting to me. It tells me that that it's a heart condition, you know. So we talked about those giftings and things. And so now we want to look at, those are all, by the way, everything we talked about as far as fivefold ministry, as far as administrative gifts, the gifts of help, as far as prophecy, as much as I like prophecy, it is a temporal gift. We need to understand that. That when Jesus comes, all that's over with. It's not needed. There's no more need for exhortation. There's no more need for prophecy. Thank God there would be no more need for miracles. Hallelujah. Or healings. That's going to be over with. So all of that, and that's why I think I find it interesting when some ministers, they put more into esteeming their ministry than they do their sonship. Because that is eternal. Hallelujah. There are no prophets in heaven, no pastors in heaven, no teachers in heaven, just Jesus and the children of God and angelic beings. I'm not sure what they're going to be doing, but I'm sure they're going to be having fun too. Hallelujah. Amen? So, just to let you know that the whole reason these giftings are there is for an investment into those things which are eternal. So here we are in Galatians chapter 5. And now we have the list of the fruits of the Spirit. Once again, we talked about gifts. Well, that's just, Stephen, here's a gift. Stephen, I want you to have a tissue. Bless God, brother. He's got himself a tissue, praise the Lord. And so that's what he's got. It's a gift. He could use it however he sees fit to use that. Fruits are different, though. Fruits are started from a seed. They're cast into a place of good ground. They have to be nurtured. They have to be fed. They have to be watered. It's God who gives the increase. That's according to what the Scripture says. Amen? So these particular ones we're going to look at today are going to continue, not only in this life it should be, hallelujah, in abundance in our lives, but it's in the life to come is going to be, there's going to be even more fruit of that. Unhindered. Because one reason we won't have these old rickety bodies that we got. Hallelujah. We're going to have new bodies. I'm not sure what age they're going to be. I'm not sure what, there's a lot of unknown on that, isn't there? Not sure. You want it at 20? You want it at 30? I don't know. I want whatever God says is the best. In fact, I imagine we are just leave it to Him. So once again, when we're talking about the fruit, we're talking about things that all of these, the ministry and the gifts are all tools to develop this in our lives. Amen? God wants the Spirit of God in us developing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Gentleness and self-control. Against such, there is no law. There's not a law against of any of those things. So this is what God's after in our lives, if we can understand that. When we got prophecy and things, everything that God does is for that fruit to be growing in our lives. For one reason, that we could be beneficiaries of that fruit and eat of it ourselves. But maybe more importantly, that we are planted somewhere and that people who don't know Christ can come along and they can pick a piece of fruit and they can eat it and see that the Lord is good. Amen? Amen? I believe that's the idea. In fact, the Old Testament is interesting because it talks about the corners of the field. Let's say you owned, 3.3 acres, as we do. And according to the Scripture, the corners of those fields are supposed to be left for the sojourner. And so anything that's being harvested there, any fruit that you might have there, if you're raising corn or whatever you're raising, your field of corn or wheat or grapefruit, y'all know why I say that, don't you? Because that's what I raise. And so whatever it is, those corners were specifically to be untouched, and they were for people traveling or people without a food that could come and pluck and eat and see that the Lord is good. It's the same thing for us, that we are the ambassadors of Christ, and this is what they don't care about us prophesying. They don't care about us tongues interpretation. What they care about is having a likeness that they could taste of in a tangible way that represents God Himself. Amen? These are not human achievable manifestations. The first Adam is incapable of these nine. You with me on that? Incapable. All of these are the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the likeness of Christ in our lives. Okay, now, some of this I'm going to have to read to you because it's just too much for me to remember. Where are we? In looking at love, there's certain words for that, of course. And one word is eros. And eros, we get the word erotic. And the root of that word is to beg or demand, which confirms this is not a giving gift, but a taking gift. When you have to make a demand, you're not in a giving situation. You're in a demanding or taking situation. It rather denotes sexual demands. It's not even used. God didn't even use this one time in all the New Testament. It's throughout Greek literature. But not one time did He choose to use this particular word, eros, in the New Testament. I find that interesting. Because it is a selfish, it is a lust of the flesh, I suppose, would be the category that we would put that in. And so this is not the type of love we're talking about that's to be manifested. Amen? So the type of love is flesh-based and not of the same level that is of agape love. Okay, sterngo. Sterngo. Yeah, I guess that's how you say it. It's a love primarily pictures the love that exists within a family or amongst family members. That kind of love. Now, the kind of the interesting thing you would think, well, that's a pure love. Yeah, well, not always. Not always is it. And not only that, there can be also disappointments within that. And so sometimes those kind of relations fall off. So it's kind of a love of devotion. Which certainly agape has devotion involved in it, but it's kind of dependent. I think it's used negatively in 2 Timothy, where he talks about at the end time there will be a deterioration of the family and of family values. We must be then in the end time. What do you think? We must be a part of that. As I'm telling you, the world in the 50s. Is a different world today. It's a different world. It's not as it was. And all around, you know, every culture I've been to extremely values family. There's not been a culture I've been to that does not value family. So everyone values that. But it's sometimes based on a need basis also. Philia, everyone, we got Philadelphia, the brotherly love. It describes affection. Affection between a boyfriend or girlfriend, which are amongst friends. An affection in friendship, strong friendships. And still, it's not associated with the highest love that there is. The purest love is that agape. Love that has no strings attached to it. Anytime there's love that has some form of string attached to it, it's not as pure as it can be. Everybody with me? And so agape love, which is the love that's generated, given to us by the Holy Spirit, is what can move into my life. It can hopefully affect my marriage, and my marriage benefit by agape. It can with my relationships with others. This is what God's after. The love of God in our lives being manifested. The love we have for one another as a church and a church family. This is not generated by human beings. This is generated by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, these gifts and things we talked about are all tools that do nothing more than help in the production of that in the constant increase in our lives. Amen? if agape is the basis of your sexual relationship with your spouse instead of eros, you'll always seek to serve and please your spouse rather than begin being self-centered and only focus on your needs. My God, he's talking about sex in church. Yeah, I kind of thought God created it. Y'all don't y'all think he created it? I think he created it. I thank God he created it. Everybody with me? I know that's a sensitive subject with some folks. Okay. If agape is the basic of your family relationships rather than stergo, you'll always remain devoted to your family regardless of disappointments that may come the way. Disappointments are always going to happen in a relationship. They're always going to happen. There's always going to be some challenge. Somebody's going to step on your foot. Someone's going to say something. Now, agape love will cover that. What I like about agape love is a covering love, not an uncovering love. When Noah went in and he was drunk in his tents and he was laying there naked, one of them went in there and saw that he was naked. Two of the brothers went in and they covered their father's nakedness. The other one went in, saw his father naked, and came out and started spreading it abroad. Which do you want to be? You want to be a coverer of sin, a cover over people, or an uncoverer? The reverse way to ask that is, what do you want done to you? I don't want nobody jerking no covers back. Hello? I want people around me that got agape love. Doesn't excuse anything. We're not talking about excusing, but we're not talking about making certain things public. Praise God. I always liked that particular scripture. So with agape, the basis of friendship rather than filio, will be faithful and unmovable a friend for life rather than a come-and-go kind of situation. I imagine we've all got some friends that we might not see for 20, 30 years. Boom, and you see them and you're right back at that same place. No? Well, I do. I've got a few. Hallelujah. Right back in that same place, even though there's been distance and time that's there, there's still this that's there. And so it's greater than just friendship, because we also see friendships of 20 years. It's interesting to me how fragile some of these relationships are, how little it takes of an error or a trespass for people to break off a relationship so quickly. It's interesting to me. With so much love that had gone on before, something so small could come in there and just break that. It's really a shame. Okay, so eros is a self-seeking love. Stergo is limited only to friends or family. Filio is based on a mutual satisfaction and can feel disappointment. Where agape is, of course, the divine love we're talking about, the highest level love. By the way, Kenneth Hunt is already in you. When we accepted Jesus Christ, the agape came in. We're not talking about some ectoplasmic substance that's got to drop on us from on high, you know, in the middle of service. We're talking about when you opened your heart to Jesus Christ, agape came in. And that's the agape is there. And now, I'm going to once again say to you that it's supposed to be growing and growing. Just like, I keep talking about my fruit trees. You know, I had one fruit tree. It was 10 years. My dad did these specialty kind of tangerines, and he did them from seeds, and so I planted them. And 10 years, I go out there every year looking at it. My grapefruit did stuff. My orange tree did stuff. My lemon tree did stuff. This stupid tree didn't do nothing. And I can see why the word used curse it. Careful. I go out there every year disappointed. Well, you know, there's nothing happening. Okay, year one, I'm not so disappointed. I'm getting around year six and seven, and I'm thinking, you know, this stick needs to be pulled up. It started greening up about year eight. Finally, I made a decision. Suzanne, we're going to buy something else and put it in if it doesn't do something this season. And boom, for its own salvation, it bloomed. Praise the Lord. Okay, it had like 15 tangerines, and I was in tangerine heaven. Praise God. So, you know, I think God's looking for fruit from us. I think He's expecting that. Sometimes it takes time for that to develop and to, you know, there's pruning involved with that. That's not something that's enjoyable, where you're cutting back on the tree, and God prunes us so that more can be obtained. Every year I cut the trees back. I prune those back. And I'm sure that's some harm to them. If they were to voice it, they'd say, don't do it. But if there's going to be fruit, it's going to involve certain measures so that fruit can continue to come in abundance. Amen? And so the Lord is wanting, you know, love out of us. But that's not all. Joy. Let's look at that for a second. Joy is another attribute of the Holy Spirit bestowed on us. It's not just a greater measure of happiness, which is based with, favorable circumstances. Certainly, if things are going favorably, I'm happier. Aren't you? Things aren't going so favorably, it interrupts my happiness, and probably others around me. I don't know how y'all are, but nonetheless. But see, that's we're not talking about happiness. We're talking about something that comes as a fruit of the Holy Spirit and relationship within us. Now, joy is not disturbed by circumstances. You hear what I said? It's not disturbed by problems. It's not disturbed by negative things. In fact, it even rises to greater occasion than whatever trial we might be facing to manifest and stabilize us in Christ. So we're not like waves just blown by the wind. Amen? Hallelujah. So is it always swinging from the chandeliers? Well, the last person who did, as you can see, they broke our chandelier. So no, it's not. It's not always swinging from the chandeliers and jumping up and down and trotting and doing cartwheels. It's not always that. It's been a long time since it's been that for me. The ability to do that. That's not what it is. It's an eternal joy that is there. Based for me on the singular truth that I'm a child of God. And nothing can change that. Hallelujah. Nothing can change that. That was done by the Savior. It's kept by the Savior. It's not kept by me. Hallelujah. Now, I'm cooperating because, praise God, there's more of that than I enjoy in my life. There's more that my wife and family enjoy. There's more that my friends enjoy. The more the church. All of us, if we have more of this going, there's more for the world to pluck. Hallelujah. Okay. Peace. You know, it's the peace. The word there is the equivalent to shalom. It expresses the idea of wholeness and completeness, a tranquility in the soul that's not affected by outward circumstances. I like that. A tranquility of the soul that's not disrupted by external circumstances. Hallelujah. Love, joy, peace. All of these are already in my brother Russ.
Hallelujah.
He doesn't have to get them. He doesn't have to go searching for them. They're already there. All he has to do, and you do, and I do, is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, every year of our life, is going to do what we ask Him to do, which is produce more fruit in our lives. That we're the beneficiaries and others are the beneficiaries. Amen? Okay. Long-suffering. You know, it's interesting. The word there, macro, means long, which you get the word macaroni from. And tumus, which is anger. So it's defined as a patient restraint of anger. A patient restraint of anger. Instead of getting angry. By the way, you know, you say, oh my God, I got angry. Well, Scripture says you got till sundown to deal with that. Okay, so I can't deal with it the first 5 minutes because I'm hot. Okay? But I should be having that long suffering working in me to restrain me from taking inappropriate action. Amen? And so, by sundown, as required on several occasions, by by the Lord and by the Scriptures. Lord, I give it up. Sun's coming down. I don't have much time to hang on to it. The quicker you ditch it, the better. The quicker we ditch it, the better. Amen? Better for us and better for everyone else. And so it's that tranquility of soul that provides, defined as a restraint of anger. And the example of that is like a long candle with a long wick that burns for an incredibly long time. That's used in Greek literature for that example, long suffering. Gentleness. Well, you know, long suffering is not all that we need, but we also need gentleness, which is to show kindness and to be friendly to others, be adaptable to others and their situation. It involves compassion, being considerate, sympathetic, kind, and of course, gentle. You know, we are measured on how we handle one another. Amen. I get a little perturbed. Now, I don't know if I've got longer on perturbed than I do anger. Perturbed, I may have more than just by sundown to get rid of. But I get a little perturbed at some ministers on how they handle the bride of Christ. I don't think they get it. I see them awful rough with the bride. I see them jerking her around and commanding her around. Obviously, they've forgotten whose bride this is. Amen? Commanding this, ordering this, condemning this. I think, who do you think you are? We're supposed to be the bridesmaids. We're here to adorn the bride, not beat up on her. And there's a day of accountability for those. There's a day of accountability to stand before the Lord on how one treats the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. So in all manners that we handle, how we handle others, it's, again, not generated by human efforts, but again, this is already something we possess by the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is, once again, cooperate for it to continue to manifest and break my line. You know, we talk about patience. That's probably currently for the last, you know, I've been a Christian 48 years. So for 48 years, I've been working on that one. 48 years, I can't exactly say that patience is a star in my crown yet. Yet. There's constant things that it seem to me that are disrupting and that I allow to disrupt. And once again, the interesting thing, it's already within me. Christ is already in there to be able to provide patience in situations if I'll yield to it. I don't know if any of y'all have trouble with patience. None of y'all? Blessed, saved, and sanctified, perfect individuals that you are. Huh? Well... I think it says, confess your sins one to another that you could be healed. So I'm looking for a healing. Praise God. Okay, we know that we all lack in these things, that we can all do better, and that thank God there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, that He'll forgive us, and that we're striving to be everything that He desires and cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Okay, goodness, the sense of being good to someone, a person, it really reflects a person who is generous to another individual. The sharing of God's wealth of His kingdom with an individual. That's not just money, it's time, it's love, it's giving of oneself. So, and finally we have faith. It's the word pistos is actually the word for faithful. So when we think of faith, we're all often thinking about that which, oh, we use for healings. You have to have faith for healings to happen, miracles happen, all this. We're talking about being faithful. Being faithful to the Lord. This is the type of faith that it's talking about here. Now, by the way, faith is a gift. It's one of the gifts listed in Corinthians, and it's one of the fruits. Praise God. How can we lose then? He's going to give it to us, praise God, and He's also going to develop more of it, the faithful side of that, that we're constantly more and more faithful unto the Lord as we're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Meekness. Meekness has got a bum rap. Meekness, I've always heard defined in some way as weakness, and it's absolutely not. I believe I've told you this, and I'm going to tell you again, it's just so you can get it. In Greek literature, it uses the example of a commander, a soldier who has a horse. And if you had a horse in the cavalry of ancient times, you had a mighty weapon. It was a lot better than being on foot. And so, but most of those guys, they didn't allow someone else to train and raise that horse. They trained and raised the horse themselves. The reason being is when they would get out there and the animal's ready for battle, the rider doesn't want to have to jerk and physically have to do these commands and shout these commands while they're in the middle of battle. The animal must be able to interpret subtle shifts in the body. And that takes training, years of training sometimes. And the owner, the one who's going to ride that, is the one responsible to do it because it's his life depended upon that. And so the final test that they would have is they'd take the horse and they'd put kindling under its belly, and it would light the kindling, and the fire and the smoke and the heat would char the underneath of the horse. And the soldier would stand there in front of the horse. If the horse moved because of the pain of that, it was considered not to be meek. If it moved only on command from the rider, it was considered then to be meek. So there's no way that the Bible's talking about weakness here. It's talking about a strength under a lot of pressure to hold your place with God no matter what physical forces might be coming at you. So also that leads into the next one, which is temperance or self-control. Power of oneself, self-control or restraint of one's passions, appetites, and desire. Appetites? We'll leave that for another sermon. How about that? A person with temperance maintains a life of moderation and control in all things. And once again, it prohibits the works of the flesh, that self-control and positioning yourself. You know, I remember one time I was in Lisbon, and they took me up to these cliffs. The cliffs are like 500 feet high. And there's just this insatiable desire to get out to the edge of that and look over that. Now, thank the Lord, on that day, I didn't yield to that 16-year-old who still tries to live inside of me. But I did get close enough to the edge. And I think of people who live their lives on the edge of what's the things of God and things that aren't. And they're even dangling their toes over. It doesn't take much of a wind. Doesn't take much of an earthquake. Doesn't take much of anything to jeopardize that individual in falling into the ravine or whatever it might be. So it's gonna be with these temperance that we're going to hold back. We're not going to walk that line. We're not going to get up to that line. We're not going to tempt, as one part of the scripture, tempt the Lord our God. We're not going to do that. I'm going to stay away. There's certain things I'm going to stay away. There are certain things I stay away. Russell and I are talking about. There are things I stay away from today that I might or might not participate in simply because I'm the pastor of this church. I'm your face. And that reputation of the church you go to, I hold in high regard. So there's going to be things that I'm not going to participate in. Are they sin? No. I'm just going to make sure that I'm a good distance from the edge. And I have good reason for my marriage, for my family, for this church, for the kingdom of God, to hold my distance. Oh, that's it. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Oh, rascal. Okay, praise God. Let's stand. Just again to remind you, thank the Lord for what gifts He gives us. We remind ourselves today that they're useful. They are tools that God has given to us to produce, help produce eternal things that we're going to be always. You know, when Jesus comes, there's always going to be love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's always going to be those things in unlimited abundance. Praise the Lord. Until then, we're working on it. Amen? We're working on it. Praise God. And so, yes, we still want all those giftings to help us do that. But ultimately, we're here to invest ourselves in the eternal things of God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I remind you, hallelujah, I remind you this with great satisfaction. These things are already in you by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We're not talking and going and having to get an inoculation. We're talking about when you receive Jesus Christ, all of these things came with Him, just like all the gifts came with Him. It's a matter of now work, allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest those in our lives. Amen? Thank you, Father. We give You thanks for Your Word today, Father. We desire to not just be hearers of Your Word, but doers of Your Word. So in the abundance of all these eternal fruits, Lord God, we desire that they would be evident and working in all of our lives, Lord God, that we can touch our community, touch our family members, Lord God, touch people we come in contact with, that they can pluck, Lord God, off the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives and taste and see that the Lord is good. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. And that this house of worship be a place, Father, that people can come once again and taste and see the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Not condemning. I can't even say it. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father, that You're a forgiving God. Thank You, Lord God, this day. Work in us to will and to do of Your good pleasure. I ask, Lord God, Your blessings on every family represented here. Generation after generation, Lord, that are expressed here. The great Your faithfulness be upon them all, my God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.